Well, over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about defining values. In other words, we've been looking at the things that are most important to us. Those are our values. And so we're saying, you know, what are the, let's define the values that define our lives. One of the ways we've said it is this, that your life is the result of your values. And so to understand your life, you need to go back and understand your values. That your values tell you why you do the things that you do. Your values tell you how that you make the decisions that you make. And so to understand yourself, it's more than just looking at your behavior and decisions. We got to go down to the level of values and ask ourselves, what do I truly value? Now, last week, I gave you some homework, which was probably the last thing you expected to go home from church with, was an assignment on a piece of paper for some homework. But I really appreciate that you guys have been trying and buying into this. One of our meetings this week, someone shared that they took their homework assignment, and he said, man, it was really hard to go from like this list of 50 values to pick 15, and then I had to narrow it down to 10, and then I had to drop 5 of those off there to get down to my top 5 values. He said, it was really hard. He said, it took me an hour and a half to work on it. And we celebrated that. I was like, yes, do that. Do that hard work, because that hard work helps us to own who we are and what we value. Well, I shared that last night in our Saturday night service, and someone caught me later, and she said, oh, God's been working on my heart. God's been getting a hold of me. She said, it didn't take me 1.5 hours at all. It took me 3 days to get through it. But she said, God has been helping me to deal with my values. And God's been working in her heart, bringing her to a new place of ministry. And she's been feeling like she's not ready for it and equipped for it. But through this, God has been saying, go for it. You're a leader. And some people have been speaking into her lives and into her heart. It's exciting. We're thinking and talking about values. So I just love hearing your stories of how God is inviting us to think of values. And you know, if you have a story, come share it with me. I'm not into like compliments and all that, but I love to hear your stories of what God is saying to you. Share that with me afterwards. I just love it to share stories with each other, because this issue of values, it's important. It's the things that are most important to you. You know, as you think about where your values came from and where your value system came from, if your life is the result of your values, and it is, you probably did not sit down when you were 3 or 4 years old with a, you know, big fat crayon and write out your list of values and then say, this is what I value, so this is what my life's going to be. You came at your values much more organically. In fact, if you look at your life and then you think back to the family that you grew up in, your family of origin, you can see that your value, your first value system came from the family you grew up in. And folks will say, well, I didn't grow up with my family. I was raised by my grandparents. Well, if you look back to what your grandparents valued, chances are your life looked a little different from your other peers at school who were raised in a different situation because you were raised with the values of your grandparents. And just however, whatever those early influences cause us to, we just learn that and we're told what's important and usually we go on and that's what we value. Then you grow up and you get married, and you think about getting married, and I've heard from parents who have, you have kids that are older, getting out of high school, in college, they're young adults, and they're in dating relationships, and you're praying for them, aren't you? You're praying for God to bring the right person in their life, and really what you're praying for, and some of you even say it, I'm praying for someone who will share their values. Because we know that relationships, and especially a marriage relationship that is going to continue for the rest of our lives, that the more things we hold in common, and when we value the same things, and we hold those most important values are the same, it just makes, I don't want to say it makes it easier, because and we just set ourselves up for failure anytime we think anything's going to make marriage easier, but when the most important things, and we agree on what's most important, then we're just naturally going to make decisions, and we're going to go in the same direction. When you don't hold those most important values together, and you don't share those, it makes for really, it makes for a lot of arguments, doesn't it? But, as we can all attest to if we're married, even if you hold those core values in common, there's still some things you disagree about. There's still some values that are going to cause some arguments. I remember when Erica and I, we were first married, and we waited a little while to have kids. We wanted to both finish school and kind of get established, get a place in our jobs and careers that would enable us to just raise the kids like we wanted to. And so we waited a little while, but we're talking about how we're going to raise kids and what our values would be and what we would do. And then the kids came along, and all the things we were going to do all got changed by reality. But there are still a few of those things that were like, this is how we're going to parent. And so one of the things that I just was like firm on is like, I believe that when it comes to mealtime, like we sit down at the family, we sit down at the table together, because that's important to me whenever possible. And we sit down at the table together and you eat what is served to you. Like whoever's making dinner, they get to choose what is made. We don't have a menu that you choose from. You choose from what is made. And if you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to like it, but you have to eat some of it. And you have to clean your plate. A couple of people are in agreement with me. Okay, that's all right. You can be wrong. I don't mind. So I said, this is a, like, value. Like, you take a little bit of everything, you have to eat what you served, and you will clean your plate. Erica looks at me, and she's like, oh, no. We are not going to force our kids to clean our plate. That teaches them unhealthy eating habits. You eat as much as you need to eat, and when you're full, you stop eating. And I'm like, no. You clean your plate. You see, I value every argument. It might be an argument about behavior, but it's really an argument about what you value. That's why we feel so deeply about it. I say, no. That is wasteful. And I value being a good steward of everything we have, and we never waste anything. And you take that food that you chose not to eat and you dump it in the trash. No. We are not going to value wastefulness around here. We're going to finish our plate. And she said, no, I value teaching our kids how to have healthy eating habits, because if they develop unhealthy eating habits when they're young, they're going to have this unhealthy relationship with food all through their lives, and they're going to battle that. But if we teach them young to just eat as much as you need to eat and let the rest. And I was like, no. I value commitment. Like, when you commit to something, you do it. And if you take that much, you take two scoops, you're going to eat two scoops because you made a commitment to do that. And I just don't let people off the hook on their commitments. And she's like, no, we want to teach healthy eating habits. And we're arguing about our values. Her values won. Because I have to admit that watching and listening, and she's the counselor, and she's talked to a lot more folks who just kind of battle this and deal with this, and so I agreed that she made a better argument, and she won, and we are a throw-your-food-away, wasteful kind of a family, and I apologize if that messes with you, but I have come to see that the value of eating healthy and having a healthy relationship with food is more important than the occasional wasting of food. I still do think you should only take as much. Well, let's just move on with that one. Why were we arguing? We weren't arguing behaviors. We were arguing about our values, and we were trying to figure out what are we going to value and what are we going to teach our kids that is important, teach them to value. So you and I, we grew up with a certain set of values. And if you look at your life, a lot of our lives today are the values that we inherited. But then something happened about 17, 18 years old, when you pretty much knew everything. Then maybe you went on to college and you were challenged by some teachers who pushed you really hard and asked you, why do you believe what you do, and wanted you to own your beliefs for yourself instead of just blindly inheriting them. And you looked back at some of the values that you inherited and you said, I don't like those. And so you intentionally decided to become a different person than what you were raised to be. You decided to change your values. You decided to reject some of the values that you were raised in. You decided to replace some of the values you were raised with to what you believed were more important or better values to give you the life that you wanted. I've heard stories of people who would say, the family I grew up in, it was an unwritten rule that you are not allowed to share and express your emotions. And if you were sad and felt like you wanted to cry, well, you better go cry all by yourself, because in our family, you didn't cry in front of everybody. It was shut down and there were consequences, and it was not okay to share your emotions. And growing up in that stifling environment, I found some freedom later on, but I decided that my family, when I grew up, I was going to value expressing emotions, even if it was uncomfortable. And you made a choice. I've heard so many people say that. I made a choice to change and to reject that unhealthy value so that my family could have healthy values. And you rejected that value. The reality is, you can't change everything, though, can you? You can choose to change some values, but then, in the heat of the moment, you find yourself easily reverting back to what you know and with what you grew up in. How many people I've talked to and observed them live their lives, who they'd say, in my family growing up, my mom or my dad, somebody battled alcohol. And that addiction just reigned and ruled in our family and caused so much chaos. And I hated it. And I decided I was not going to have that. And I was not going to fall into that trap. And maybe it was a generational thing in my life, but I was going to break that. And I was going to break free from that. And they go on working so hard to stay away from that addiction, but struggling with so many of the other issues in the family. See, the reality is you can only change so many things. You and I only have the energy to change a few of the most important things, and we just can't change everything. And in the moments, we find ourselves reverting back to those values, even some of the ones we don't like or that we would like to replace. I can remember Erica and I having another discussion. I know it sounds like you guys are going to think, man, you guys argue all the time. No, they just make for the best stories. So I just share the few that happened. But I remember the one time we were having another lively discussion, probably about something in which our values differed. And we were, it was getting a little bit heated, and we're getting a little frustrated. And you know how, I hope I'm not the only one who just sometimes says things that are not the best. And you just, when you get emotion driven, your brain kind of stops working. You just say what you feel instead of what is true and think. And he was having this argument. We're going, and I said something I'm pretty sure that was not nice and not kind. And she looked at me and she said, "Okay, Joel, I suppose I should tell you that my dad's name is Joel." And I have worked really hard to not imitate some behaviors that I observed and some things. And so with the love of Jesus in me, I looked at her and I said, "Okay, Karen," which you've already guessed is her mom's name. And maybe you should know that she also had worked really hard to not imitate some of the behaviors and values from her mom. And then it became really quiet. I'm sure we both had something to say, but I think Jesus just like showed up in that moment, put his hand over our mouth, and just helped us to like shut up and look at each other. And something really wonderful happened. I really should confirm this with her if it happened to her mind, but I'm pretty sure both of us in that moment realized that was really painful. Even though it was true, I was acting a lot like my dad, she was acting a lot like her mom, therefore fireworks. And I think both of us realized in that moment, let's never do this again. Let's never go here again. This is not good. That's not to say we've never kind of brought that up again. We've kind of learned that the only time we kind of go there is when we're already joking around, if it's something we've already kind of established, but we're still kind of working through, and when we know that it's okay to make a joke, because it's not always okay to make a joke, Like in those situations where it's okay to make a joke, she might bring that up and use that, and I might bring that up, but hey, we're really careful with that one anymore because that's pretty sensitive. Be sensitive for you. Why? Because you've worked hard to change your value system to be what you want to be and what you want to truly value. But when the stress is there, it's really easy to go back there, isn't it? That original value system that you picked up along the way. Because we know if you want to change your life, you can't just change your behaviors. You got to deal with at the level of your values. And if you want your future to be different from your past and your present, it's not enough to change your behaviors. You've got to address the things that you value. And when you change your values, then your future will be different. Now, so far, over the last couple of weeks, our homework assignments have really focused in on what we actually value. Like, what do you value really? In fact, the first week, hold on a second. In fact, the first week, one of our kind of homework assignments was to ask the question, what do I claim to value that my life would contradict? Because if my life is a result of my values, then I just look at my life, how I spend my time, my energy, my money, and that tells me what I truly value. So we gave the example of faith. A lot of folks would say, especially if we're sitting in church, I value my faith. But when you look at your life, you see that you haven't really thought about God recently, haven't given him much of your attention and your energy, made a lot of excuses for why you could skip church, haven't read your Bible recently, and you look at your life and say, well, if I'm honest, I don't really value my faith. But I want to value my faith. So what do we do when there's a gap between what we actually value and what we want to value? That's essentially what we're talking about today. And the whole reason that we spent so much time talking about these actual values is because we've got to be honest. And we'll never think about what we want to be and what we want to value until we are brutally honest with what we actually value. And so we make this list, and last week's homework was essentially that, really pushing ourselves to own it, to say, these are the five things that I actually value. And if you followed me around and were able to read my mind, you would say, yes, these five things are what is most important to you and me. This is what drives your decisions and drives everything you do so that we can live honest and authentic lives. So what do we do with the things that we say, I can't really write this thing down as a value because I don't truly value it, but I want to. What do we do with those values that aren't true of us today, but we want them to be true of us tomorrow? Well, we call those aspired values. Those are the values that we aspire to, the things that we want to be true about our lives, but honestly, they're not what we value today, but we want them to be a part of tomorrow. And so we'd say, well, if I want that to be a part of my life, if I want my life to look like that, shouldn't I like claim to value it? So here's what you do. You just call it what it is. So we have our actual values, and then here we have this list of our aspired values. The things that we say, I'm not there today, I can't honestly say I value it today, but I want to, and so we make that list of what I actually value. So here's our homework today and this week is to ask this question. What do I really want? When you think of your life, when you dream about the future, what do you really want your future to look like? And again, not all the stuff and not all of the behaviors, like drill it down to the level of values. What do I want 5 years from now to be actually true of me that you'd say, man, you really value this. I'm not there today, but like, what do I really want for my life? And what is the value that underlies that really needs to be addressed? And then here's what you do. You add one or two aspired values to your list of five actual values. So you have what you actually value, and you have a couple of things that you want to value. And then you look at that and say, okay, if I really want these to be true in my life, to where 5 years from now you would say, yes, he really values these things, but I can't say that today, then what do I need to do? How do I need to live? What do I need to put in place in my life today and moving forward in order to actually value these things in the future? So here's one that I wrestle with, right? Is last couple of years, probably because, you know, hitting 40 really messed with my head, that, and especially in the area of like strength and fitness and health, that I have to say that, you know, health is not really an actual value if you look at the way I eat and live and don't exercise and all that type of stuff. In the last couple of years, God's really got a hold of my heart saying you need to value your health and your energy and your body and all that, and you need to start making some different decisions. That, for me, is on that list of aspired values, health, fitness, whatever you want to call it, to like that, take care of myself. So then I can't just put it on the list and say, okay, so I want to value health. Well, that's nice, but what's going to be, from now on, a part of my life that I'm going to put in on the calendar and choose to give my energy to that's not natural to me, so I'm going to give some energy to that, so that 5 years down the road, you could look at me and say, yep, he really, truly, actually values his health. So take your list of five, and this week, add one or two items that would be aspired values of what you actually want your life to look like. That's your homework this week. We're not done, though. And some of you are like, "Woo, we're getting out early today." No, you're not. Because you might be thinking to yourself, okay, this sounds great and all, but it sounds a lot more like a Tony Robbins motivational seminar than church. And you're right. And that's okay, as long as we don't end here. Because everything we've talked about, even today up till now, it's important. You need to do it. It's going to be helpful. We're still leaving a big chunk of this whole values discussion out of it, which is where today on this final part of the discussion, we really need to end here and land here. See, I kind of think that if you and I ask the question, what do I really want? Left to myself, I don't know that I'm really capable of answering that question. That if I have the sole responsibility of creating my own future, I'm a little bit nervous that knowing myself, I might get to the end of that future and realized that I answered the question with the wrong answer. That I wasn't smart enough or wise enough to really answer the question, what do I really want? That I don't know. I might be able to come up with what I really want, but it's probably really not what's best for me. That I'm not sure I am capable of creating an aspired values list that is really truly what's best. And if we believe that God created the world and us, and if we believe that God is good and that he has a good plan for our lives, which is what we believe as followers of Jesus, then maybe God has something to say about our values. That if Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life, if all that's true and as followers of Jesus we believe it is, then he might have something to say about our values. And if we're wise, we'd be wise to listen to what Jesus has to say about our values. In fact, that's really what Jesus wants to do with the rest of our lives. Following Jesus is about so much more than just getting a ticket to heaven. Oh, it includes that. But did you know, we talk about that as eternal life, but you know, when Jesus talked about eternal life is not just something that starts at the moment that we die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts at the moment you say yes to Jesus. And the moment you say yes to Jesus, your future is secure in heaven, but now Jesus wants to start messing with your value system. And for every minute of the rest of your life, Jesus is going to mess with your value system. He's going to deal with you at the level of values and working to bring your value system into alignment with Jesus's value system, because he knows that is the best way to live, because he created us and loves us and knows us, and his plan for our life is best. And so the final question we ask is, okay, Jesus, here's what I actually value. Here's what I want to value. What do you think of this list, Jesus? Jesus, take my list of values and do with it whatever you want. Oh, Lord Jesus, what I want most of all is for my values to be brought into alignment with your values. That's really the work Jesus wants to do in our lives for the rest of our lives. We see the Apostle Paul wrestling with this in his own sense of values and how his values changed. In the short little book, we call it the Book of Philippians. It's a letter that was written, and if you want to follow along, we're going to look at a couple verses in Philippians chapter 3 today. It was a short little letter. When Paul writes this letter, he is in prison. He's been arrested for being a follower of Jesus. He's been arrested for being a troublemaker, even though he really has not broken any laws. He's arrested. He's in prison. And the reality of the situation is that he may not make it out. Now, he did make it out, but at the time of writing, there was the possibility that he's not going to make it out of there alive. And so when you're in that place of your faith has cost you something and your values have cost you something, you're kind of evaluating, is it all worth it? And here we see the Apostle Paul wrestling with his values. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at the second half of verse 4. He says, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more reasons." Here's what he means by that. In the flesh. He's not talking about like skin, but he's kind of making this contrasting argument of two ways to live. There's the way of the flesh, which is like the human way to live, where I live by my strength, my ability, my human wisdom, and I try to please God with everything I've got, but it's really based on me and my own strength. Then there is the way of the Spirit of God, but by way I live by the power of God. I'm inspired by the voice and the leading of God, and I live by God's way, God's power. So it's like flesh, my way, my power, my wisdom. Spirit, God's way, God's power, God's wisdom. And we can live one of two different ways. And so he says, before I met Jesus, which leads us into the life being led by the Spirit, I was living the life by the flesh. And if anybody says that they have confidence in that way of life, I have even more. Look, now here's what I want you to see is his old value system. Verse 5, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. I know there's a whole bunch of religious jargon in there. Here's what he says. By all the standards of that trying to please God by our own strength and ability, he said, I valued all of the right things and I was good at it. He said, I could, in terms of purity, like if the Jewish people were God's selected, chosen people, I was pure and I had a pure bloodline and I can trace it all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin, which is the tribe that the first king of Israel came from. I was it. In terms of dedication to obeying God's rules, I was a voluntary member of this group called the Pharisees. They were a group of people that were so dedicated. The way they honored God was complete, detailed dedication to obeying God's law, even down to the exact detail. I mean, they were dedicated. The reason they got in trouble with Jesus is because they were so it took so much energy to be dedicated to obeying every detail that they got lost in the details and missed out what God was doing in the bigger picture. But they were dedicated to God and so committed. He said, in terms of like being a radical for Jesus and being a radical for God, being all in, he said, I actually persecuted the followers of Jesus because I thought Jesus was a liar. And so I was persecuting those who were spreading lies as I believed it. As for finding being right with God based on my ability, I was faultless. What do we hear here? He's describing his previous value system of purity and dedication, obedience. He says, I valued all the right things, and I valued those so much I gave my life to them. But, verse 7, but that was in the past. And then God did something. God came into my life. Look what he says here. But whatever were gains to me in the past, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Last week we said, your values have a value. It's hard to put a numerical value on something you value until you compromise. And you compromise what you value for something else, now you know how much it's worth and how much you value that value. Paul kind of does the same thing here. He uses an accounting analogy to contrast how he used to see things. He says, if you were to make a balance sheet of my values, all the things I used to value, I would have put them on the assets side and with a lot of zeros at the end of it because I was so committed to these things and they were valuable to me. I valued them and I valued them so much that I found personal value in them. And I thought I was doing great and I thought God saw that I was doing great because these were values that I highly valued. But now, something happened. We're going to get into that. But now, what I used to consider assets that were so valuable to me and gave me so much value, I have moved to the liabilities page. They're now actually dragging me down. They actually hurt me. They're worth nothing. What happened to him? Look at verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth. In other words, value, to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He says, my whole value system was flipped upside down. Everything that used to be so valuable to me, it had nothing to do with Jesus. And Jesus came into my life and showed me that he was worth an infinite amount of value, more than all these things, and they were transferred. They're now value. They're worth nothing. They are garbage compared to the inestimable worth of Jesus Christ and the difference that he has made of knowing Jesus in my life. In other words, Jesus came into Paul's life and completely changed his entire value system. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. And look at how he says, here's what I value now, that I may be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, there is freedom here. I used to have to earn my sense of being right with God. Now I get it freely as a free gift of God because of what Jesus did for me, not because of what I'm doing for God, and it has changed my life. And as a result, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, as a result, he says, here's what my life looks like now. I want to know Christ. Christ has become his life, his value, the most important thing in his life. And so he says, my life is a result of my values, so I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. In another place he writes, and he says, hey, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is at work inside of us as God is making us to be who he wants us to be. That is the power of God to change our entire value system, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. But he doesn't even stop there. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And even, this is almost crazy talk here, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus is my hero and my life and my ultimate value. And Jesus suffered and died. And if I have to suffer and die as well, because that's what it means to know my hero and my Savior, I'm willing to do that. And as I suffer and die, remember, he's in prison here. Even in my suffering and death, we'll experience a kind of fellowship as my Lord suffered and died as well. That's the value that Jesus became to him. When Jesus came into Paul's life, he changed his entire value system. And Jesus became the most important thing in his life. Jesus went to the top of the list, and we see how Paul lived, and he lives it out. As Jesus is most important. Do you hear Paul talk about values here and what is most important to him? So this week we're asking the question, what do I really want? And I want you to ask that question. And I want you to answer it and be honest. What do you really want? But then remember, don't stop there. Having that list of what you want your life to look like, then we lay it before Jesus. Say, okay, Jesus, what do you want my life to look like? Is this it? Jesus, how do you want to bring my values into alignment with your values? Because Jesus, you are what's most important to me. Now, it may seem so obvious that we do this, but here's what we know when we're honest. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy to be so committed to all the right things and then just get distracted. Life, job, raising children, all the stuff that just comes with life, it's so easy to allow our values to drift. And, you know, drift happens slowly until you wake up one day and realize just how far you are away. And there's times when God gets a hold of our hearts. And if we can sit quietly before him, there are times when God shines a bright light on our life and he says, look how far you've drifted. Let's bring your values back into alignment with me. So with the rest of our time together, it's what I'd like us to do. Worship team's going to come on back. You know, we intentionally took our prayer time that we normally have before the teaching, and we've held it off till now so that we can have some time to just be quiet before the Lord. Take ourselves, take our life, take our values. Let's just do that today. Say, Lord, here's what I value, here's what I want to value. But Lord, what I really want is to have my life brought into alignment with what you value. So before we opened up the word today, we sang, Lord, take. We sang, here's my life, Lord. Speak truth in me. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak truth in me. So we're going to pick up where we left off. Let's begin to pray that again. As always, don't let this song get in the way, but let it be the prayer of our hearts today. And don't worry, we won't be here for a long time, but we're going to be here for enough time to let God wrestle with us and do some business in our hearts. So would you stand with me at this time? The band's going to sing. If you'd like to sing along, you can. But really what I want you to do is to pray along and to seek the Lord today. You can meet the Lord in your seat. These prayer altars here are also a really great place just to come and kneel before the Lord and seek Him. What happens sometimes is a friend sees a friend praying and seeking the Lord, and we gather as friends and encourage and lift each other up. And if that happens, that's great. Let's seek the Lord today. And even now begin to pray, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. Oh, God, what I really want is what you want. Lord, bring my life into alignment with you. So here we go. Enough talking. Let's just seek him today. Let's pray. Let's talk to him. You seek the Lord. Lead us, guys. Make that last line our prayer. Can you just pray this with me? Speak what is true, Lord. If you're bold, maybe just pray that out loud. Speak what is true, Lord. Oh God, would you take that bright spotlight and shine it onto our lives? Your spotlight of truth, and show us the truth that maybe we don't really want to admit, Lord. Speak what is true, Lord. Oh, Lord, speak what is true today. Hold that mirror up to my life and help me to see myself as you see me. The good stuff and the not so good stuff. Wherever we have drifted, wherever we have become distracted, wherever we have compromised, Lord, speak what is true today. Oh, God, we seek you. Let's seek him. You know, we don't get very many kind of quiet, focused, undistracted moments in life. Let's make the most of this moment to really seek him. Whether there at your seats, whether kneeling before him, let's seek him together. Maybe you've believed the lie that you've compromised too much, that you've gone too far, and that you're just kind of out of the realm of God's reach. Really, if you're open, you're exactly where God wants you to be today. And today, God would love to grab a hold of your heart and bring you back to him, bring your life back into alignment with him. If that's you today, seek him. This prayer you pray, Lord, speak truth to me. It's an invitation. Lord, bring me back to you. If that's you today, seek him. We'll sing a little bit more. Let's continue to seek him. Let's continue to reach out to him and pour out our hearts to him today. Let's keep seeking him. Oh, Lord, we seek you. Lord, thank you that we're never too far gone. Thank you that you don't discard us when we've drifted too far, but that you're always drawing us back to you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would continue a work in each of us. Oh, God, would you continue to bring us constantly into alignment with your values? Lord, we want our future to be the future you want for us. Lord, we want to value the things you value. Lord, we want our hearts to break for the things that break your heart. Lord, we want our attention to be drawn to the things that get your attention, Lord. And we want to give our lives to the things that you give your life to as well. Oh, God, work in us. And we trust you. Oh, Lord, how good is your mercy and your grace. How good it is to live not by our own strength, but by your power and by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we are so privileged to be yours. Lead us, God. Lead us into this week. Lead us as we go back to school. Lead us as we go back to work. Lead us as we go back home. God, lead us, and we'll follow, and we'll trust that your future that you have for us is the best. We're yours today, Jesus. And so all this we pray together in your name. Amen. All right, we got a little bit more time, and so we can go out with an anthem today. Can we do that? Can we raise our voices and sing? And we're going to praise the one true King of all today. We've got one King. His name is Jesus. Let's celebrate him. Let's live for him. So guys, lead us out with everything we've got.